Heard all across the United States, Canada, and around the world. This is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, our desire is to equip you to not only defend the historic Christian faith, but become an apprentice of Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. To learn more or to find resources to help you grow in grace, go to equip.org. To ask Hank a question on air, call 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. As always, it is such a pleasure, such a delight, such a privilege to be in the studio answering your questions. As always, the number to dial is just mentioned, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Our contact information on the web, as always, equip.org. Via the mail, it's Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And our resource consultant standing by, 888-7000. And the letters CRI. We have some fantastic resources available for those who support the ministry this month. How to Be an Atheist, Why Many Skeptics Aren't Skeptical Enough. As I've mentioned in previous broadcasts, what this means is they're not skeptical enough about their own worldview, which is to say, a worldview that demands that we believe nothing creates everything. Life came from non-life, and the life that came from non-life created ethos and mores and even meaning to life. Another book that I'm very passionate about, The Great Evangelical Recession, Six Factors That Will Crash the American Church and How to Prepare. It's by the award-winning journalist John Dickerson. He's also a pastor, and I think we ought to listen very carefully to what he has to say, and that's why I'm recommending the book. He points out that the Great Recession pressed millions of homeowners into foreclosure and pummeled some of the world's largest financial institutions into bankruptcy. And a lot of us simply did not heed the warning signs. And so now he's pointing out some very significant warning signs that point directly to an evangelical recession. Signs like the dramatic shrinkage of American evangelicals, or the cultural hatred for anything Christian, the specter of division, the drying up of donor dollars, the body of Christ bleeding out. This is one of the most significant of all of the factors. You think of the 3.7 million U.S. evangelicals, 18 to 29, 2.6 million are going to leave the faith between their 18th and 29th birthdays, and the majority will never return. And perhaps most significantly is the reality that the engine of evangelicalism is sputtering. The church is no longer making disciples, worse yet, reproducing disciple makers. The conclusion of that is that what has already happened in the British Isles is happening now in the U.S. And when I mention the British Isles, think about the fact that this is home to some of the world's oldest Protestant seminaries and cathedrals. It was the birthplace of Charles Dickens, a Spurgeon, C.S. Lewis. And now it is an overtly secular nation, as is, by the way, the place that I was born, the Netherlands. Lands of the Reformation now secularized. Christianity has so waned and left such a spiritual vacuum that the most common name for newborn boys in Britain is now Mohammed. And some preachers are arrested for stating that homosexuality is a sin. So now, just to recapitulate what Scripture says, is an offense for which you can be arrested. This in the British Isles. The United States Church is moving with speed and momentum in the direction of lethargic discipleship, sputtering evangelism, abandoned unity, pending bankruptcy, failed ambassadorship, and we are in desperate need of a course correction. And yet a course correction just like that can take place. I think of what's happened under the Obama administration. Love it or loathe it. I will tell you one thing. One man changed the culture in a dramatic fashion. Things that were unthinkable 8 years ago are now commonplace. And we can curse darkness or we can do something about it. We can be cultural change agents as opposed to cultural imitators. Again, this is one of the reasons we put great resources into the hands of those who support the ministry. You can support us, and we'd be pleased to send you either one of the books I just mentioned. In a safe, secure fashion, you can support us on the web at equip.org. As mentioned, just write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or just talk to one of our resource consultants, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. First up today, Mike, listening in St. Louis, Missouri on Bot Radio. Hi, Mike.
Hello, sir. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome. How are you?
Good, sir. My question is this. When our Lord was hanging on the cross, he told the one thief, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." And yet when he rose and Mary Magdalene saw him, he said to her, "Don't touch me because I have not descended to the Father." My question is, where did he go? Where was he?
Well, I mean, you have to look at two separate things here. One, what happened when Jesus Christ died on the cross. When he died, his body was buried in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. But the non-physical aspect of Christ's humanity went to be with the Father, just as he said to the thief on the cross, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." Or to the Father, he said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." So Jesus was absent the body, and he was with his heavenly Father in paradise. Now, Jesus was resurrected after 3 days, or on the third day, as the scriptures say. So when Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead, he made many post-resurrection appearances. This is one of the most powerful proofs for Christianity, the post-resurrection appearances of Jesus Christ. And after those post-resurrection appearances, he ascended to heaven. Now, the ascension to heaven is a way of communicating that the God-man physically transcended time and space. So now, physically resurrected, Jesus is forever at the right hand of the throne of power. So he has been exalted to his rightful place as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So there's a big difference between what happened during the time of Christ's death prior to his resurrection and what happened with respect to his post-resurrection appearances and then his ascension at the end of his earthly ministry.
So his reference to paradise that day was heaven he was speaking of.
Well, paradise is a way of speaking about being in the presence of God. There are a number of different metaphors that are used in Scripture. Abraham's bosom, paradise are but two of them, but they are a way of speaking about being in the presence of God. And that is, as I mentioned earlier, what Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. You'll be in the presence of the Father.
That's great. That makes sense. And I thank you very much.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Ingrid in St. Louis, Missouri. Hi.
Hi, how are you tonight?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Good. I just started listening to you. It's an awesome pleasure. I'm at home. Just curious what your opinion is on a book that I read many years ago called The Divine Revelations of Hell by Mary Baxter.
Yeah, this is not a reliable author nor a reliable book. In terms of the author, she claims her ministry is characterized by miracles and other demonstrations of the Holy Spirit, and that includes dispatching angels, having out-of-body experiences, seeing the Holy Spirit as a man on one occasion. But most notoriously, she claims that Jesus gave her, as you read in the book, this 40-day tour into hell and later into heaven. And hell, according to Baxter, is a deep place within the bowels of the earth. It's shaped like a human being. There are snakes there and rats, and worms slither through ignited corpses, and on goes the sensationalism and the sophistry. Now, what you have to do with books like this and teachings like this is test them in light of Scripture and then hold fast to that which is good. One of the things we recognize immediately is that her depiction of hell is against the clear teachings of Scripture with respect to hell. And I have written about this in my own book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About the Heaven, the Hereafter, or Hell, and near-death experiences. And so, in short, this is an unreliable author and an unreliable book.
Okay. Well, I do appreciate your time, and again, thanks for all your education.
Well, thank you so much for your kind words. I want to mention that a lot of the questions that I answer on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, answered in the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. If you like the old one and you have it, you'll love the new one. It has 50 new entries, including 26 new acronyms. It's a larger, expanded edition, but just as beautiful, I would say even more beautiful, than the first permutations of this book. Over 500,000, half a million copies in print by the time this book came out, and a lot of these now in the hands of people around the world. And I'd be pleased to send those who join CRI's monthly support team a personalized copy to you, a family member, or a friend. Of course, you can ask for any one of my books personalized to you, a family member, or a friend when you join CRI's monthly support team. This is such a critical aspect of our ministry, people standing shoulder to shoulder with this one-of-a-kind ministry in the battle for life and truth. And we are in a battle. Last night, the program ended with a call of a dear supporter of this ministry who has a husband who does not believe, two sons who claim that they are gay, and she's at her wit's end for how to deal with this in the most effective way. So I had an opportunity to speak with her last night on air, and then for quite a while off the air as well. And the kind of information that we're putting into the hands of people who are in circumstances like this, and you can probably name a family member or a friend who is facing the same dilemma, or someone who is in college facing the brutality of those who will not even give Christianity a hearing, who have clamped down with their iron boot of intolerance on the Christian worldview. So what is a person to do? Well, we are simply called to be equipped. We're not even called to win. We're just called to be faithful, to be equipped, and to leave the rest up to the Lord. But one of the great defects in American evangelicalism is the fact that we are no longer equipped, ready always to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within us with gentleness and with respect. And with that comes significant consequence. And that is why, again, we ask people to stand with us prayerfully and financially. I cannot do what I do. The Christian Research Institute cannot do what we do collectively without you. So please join with us. Stand with us shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth. Again, available for your support, the two books mentioned earlier on in the broadcast. You can see them on the web. And for those who join the monthly support team, the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, personalized to you, a family member or a friend. We'll be back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions, so please don't touch that dial.
If atheists were as critical of their own naturalist worldview as they are of the Christian worldview, the very foundations of their atheism would crumble. In How to Be an Atheist, Why Many Skeptics Aren't Skeptical Enough, Dr. Mitch Stokes methodically reveals deep inconsistencies among atheists' most cherished beliefs. Receive your copy of How to Be an Atheist, Why Many Skeptics Aren't Skeptical Enough as our thank you for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Don't go away. Hank will return in a moment. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the revised and updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Being good is commendable, but only when it is combined with doing good is it useful. Either take a stand and make a difference, or future generations reap the bitter harvest of indifference and inaction. To help you do good against the attacks on faith and religious liberty by skeptics, the Christian Research Institute is offering two resources to build your apologetics arsenal. John Dickerson's The Great Evangelical Recession, Six Factors That Will Crash the American Church and How to Prepare, plus Mitch Stokes' How to Be an Atheist, Why Many Skeptics Aren't Skeptical Enough. Receive your copy of The Great Evangelical Recession or How to Be an Atheist as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. Or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org, equip.org. In the Great Evangelical Recession, award-winning journalist and pastor John S. Dickerson identifies six factors that are severely eroding the American church and offers biblical solutions to prepare us for spiritual success, even in the face of alarming trends. Receive your copy of The Great Evangelical Recession as our thank you for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we return to our phone callers. Next up is Bruce, listening in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, on Bot Radio. Hi, Bruce.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Good. I really appreciate your ministry. It's an honor to be a supporter of you guys every month. And my question is real simple. The church I'm going to is considering becoming a part of the Acts 29 network.
Uh-huh.
I think it's kind of a network of churches from even from different denominations. And I was curious what you knew about the Acts 29 network.
Yeah, it's a very diverse global family of church planting bodies, and it's certainly well within the pale of orthodoxy. They have a reformed view of salvation, an emphasis on the principle of male headship, but they're well within the pale of orthodoxy and generally considered to be a good group.
Okay. I know they've had some issues with some of their leadership or some of their founders just recently, but...
Well, yeah, that is true. That is true. Their founder is no longer part of this association, but that doesn't mean the association doesn't have merit.
Okay. Well, fantastic. I really appreciate that answer, and we'll keep praying for you guys and listening.
Hey, thanks, Bruce. Appreciate your call, and certainly appreciate your prayers. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Kenneth in Tennessee next. Hi, Kenneth. Hi, Ken.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, I just had one question. A friend had told me about a new group called Chrislam, and it was just a combination of Christianity and Muslim belief, and I had not heard about it. I looked it up online, and I just wondered if you could tell me who's involved with that and actually what it's about.
Well, actually, it's a term that's very, very fluid. So it can fit a number of different situations, circumstances, organizations, etc. The science fiction author Arthur Clarke actually used the term in a futurist novel back in 1993. The novel was called The Hammer of God, and he used it to refer to a blending of Christianity and Islam into one religion. But the word is also a word that refers to various religious cults from the West African nation of Nigeria, which blend elements of Christianity and Islam. So there are a lot of different ways in which that term is being bandied about or used. But here's the bottom line. There is no way in which you can harmonize Christianity and Islam. The two simply cannot find any coherence, one in the other. Because at the very beginning, you have Islam saying that Christ is not God. And to say that Christ is God is to commit the unforgivable sin of shirk. On the other hand, Christianity, its core value is that Jesus Christ is, in fact, God. And without Christ being God, his sacrifice would be insufficient to atone for our sins. So at the very root of it, you see that there is no way that these two religions can be harmonized. One religion, which is rooted in history and evidence, the other, which is rooted in the mythology of its founder, Muhammad. One based on principles that turn a world right side up, another based on principles that turn a world wrong side down or right side down. I mean, this is a very bad idea, the idea of trying to cohere two religions that simply have no commonality.
Okay. Well, thank you. I had heard about it and I thought, okay, that just doesn't sound right to me. But, you know, I didn't know if that was a movement that was trying to weave its way into our society or just, like you said, from back in the 1990s.
Well, you know, this, you know, in a multicultural context, it is something that is trying to weave its way not only into society, but actually into the spiritual tenets of the Christian faith. So it is something to keep an eye on.
Sure. Well, thank you very much, and thank you for your ministry.
Thank you for your call. Brent next. He's listening in Durham, North Carolina, Bot Radio. Hi, Brent.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello, Hank. Thank you for your show, man, and I really appreciate your time.
My pleasure.
Yes, sir. My question was, my family's from Hawaii, and my wife, she dances hula. She's been dancing hula since she was probably 11, and we're in our 50s now. And she still insists on dancing, but we're Christians. We've been Christians for a while, and, you know, kind of, I get convicted that she dances hula because it's kind of pagan. But what are your thoughts on that, you know?
Well, I think whatever is pagan about it can be extracted from it, and it's wonderful that both of you now are followers of Jesus Christ, and I'm sure she's very, very talented at what she does, and I would not see a problem with it whatsoever. I mean, we must not in any way detract from the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to the extent that the context in which hula is being used detracts from Christianity. Obviously, you wouldn't want to be involved with it, but it can also be seen as a wonderful art form and very, very beautiful in terms of a dance. So I wouldn't have a problem with it personally.
Oh, you wouldn't, you said?
I would not.
Oh, okay, yeah, because the place they dance, they don't do the ancient chants to, like, you know, the gods and stuff. They just do more of an entertaining kind of thing.
Well, that's right, and that's the point. I mean, there are certain things that you can extract from their underpinnings, and I think certainly hula would be one of them. You know, it's like yoga. If you go into a yoga class because you want to stretch out, maybe you want to stretch your golf muscles if you're a golfer, there wouldn't be anything intrinsically wrong with it. But if you have an instructor that is trying to get you to experience the cosmic consciousness of the universe, then maybe you don't want to participate. So, you know, a lot of it really does revolve around context.
I see, yes, that's exactly right. I understand that. We understand that. Hey, sir, is it okay if I ask you another quick question?
Yeah, go for it.
Well, I got you on the phone because I've tried it so many times. Thank you, sir. I go to a church. It's a Baptist church, and it's you know, Bible-believing. It's a great church. I love the pastor. But it's based out of a men's outreach. That's because where I'm at, the other churches didn't want the men coming to their church. You know, they're coming out of that outreach. And it's like a rescue mission. But the church stays steady about 40, 50 people, and it doesn't seem to be growing. Should I look for another church that's growing, or should I just kind of stay there? My wife loves it there. You know, she sings in the choir.
Yeah, I think here's the thing. If it's not growing, maybe you can be part of the solution. If a church isn't growing, it's dying. A church ought to be growing. With birth comes growth. And the same thing is true with churches. So what happens in a church is you worship God, you experience oneness, and the world looks on and they say, see how they love one another and the love of Christ constrains them to come. Not only that, but within the context of a church, you're being equipped to go out and impact the world, to communicate through the testimony of your love and your life and your lips. Always ready to give an answer, and then using that answer as a springboard for leading others into the fellowship of faith. So I think that you could be part of the solution. Your wife loves it there, And you can talk to the people who are there about the fact that we need growth, not for the sake of growth, but for the sake of the kingdom.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Okay. Thank you so much, sir. I really appreciate it. Look forward to supporting you a little more.
Brent, thank you. Bless you. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Frank. He's listening in Omaha, Nebraska, Bot Radio. Hi, Frank.
Hey, Hank. I certainly appreciate your ministry and insight, and you know, God bless you. I truly appreciate that, brother.
Thank you.
Here's my question. Here's the question. So I'm a born again Christian. Formed all my study habits around Charles Stanley's the way he teaches his ministry. And my wife was raised Catholic, so when I came to know Christ, I thought, okay, well, I'm not, you know, I don't want to blow my wife out of the water here. She's seen me go from, you know, kind of the wild person now to all of a sudden now I'm singing the praises of Jesus. But let's go to church. I want to go to church. So I got involved and also in Promise Keepers, and I encountered a number of men at that time I'd say there's three or four of them that said they had formerly been Catholics and then weren't getting fed and had some of these other things to say about why they left the Catholic Church. And me, at the time, and I still feel this way, that I didn't see, and again, I wasn't really raised Catholic, so I don't know I don't know Catholicism very well, but it appears to me that they teach the foundation of Christianity. And
Frank, you're kind of breaking up on me. Sorry for the bad connection. Don't think it's on our end, but here's the bottom line with respect to Roman Catholicism. From my perspective, it is a true church with significant error. The significant errors include such things as purgatory. You don't find any biblical basis for it, and therefore it relies on the tradition of the fathers. And I love the tradition of the fathers, but those traditions have to be tested in light of Scripture, and then you hold fast to that which is good. You won't find purgatory, for example, in the early Christian church. In the Eastern church, no such thing as the Roman Catholic idea of limbo or purgatory. So these are ideas that have come up, as it were, late as a result of popes being able to speak ex cathedra from the chair, and as a result of that, affect Catholic dogma. And I think therein lies a big problem. And that's why I say a true church with significant error. One of the things I do like about Roman Catholicism is the emphasis on the Eucharist or the Mass or the Lord's Table. In many confines, many churches, you find this to be something that is relegated to an afterthought. In Roman Catholicism, it's central. Why? Because the understanding that this is the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Now, I don't even agree with their way of delineating or their word transubstantiation, but the idea that this is the body and blood of Jesus Christ, I think, is an antinomy, a mystery. And through this Eucharist, through this Lord's table, as we partake, we receive energy that's uncreated, only God is uncreated, by which we can live not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit. Going to have to leave it at that. I've written about this in various places, including the complete Bible answer book that I talked about earlier. Back in just a few with more answers.
One reason the church is witnessing the defection of countless young people is the inability of many believers to refute the philosophical and scientific arguments of new atheists. In the new book, How to Be an Atheist, Why Many Skeptics Aren't Skeptical Enough, philosopher Mitch Stokes effectively targets and erodes the very ground on which atheists stand and demonstrates the utter falsity of the atheist's claim that science disproves the God of the Bible. Receive your copy of How to Be an Atheist, Why Many Skeptics Aren't Skeptical Enough, as our thank you for your gift.
Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. We'll be back after the break. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. The health of our nation can't be divorced from the health of the church any more than the health of a tree can be divorced from its roots. What's important to a healthy church are the Christians who make a positive difference. Two resources that will help you make a difference to improve the overall health of church and nation are How to Be an Atheist, Why Many Skeptics Aren't Skeptical Enough by Mitch Stokes, and The Great Evangelical Recession, Six Factors That Will Crash the American Church and How to Prepare by John S. Dickerson. We believe these to be vital resources for the Christian's apologetics arsenal. Receive either book as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. With over 500,000 copies in print, Hank Hanegraaff's Bible Answer books were born out of his many years of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. He's taken his on-air answers to questions and chiseled them until only the gems emerge. Questions involving biblical interpretation, cults, science, ethics, apparent contradictions, and much more. This remarkable collection of concise answers is now even better. My goal, says Hank, is to take the complex and make it simple and memorable. Receive your copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. As churches decline, atheists and secularists increasingly attack the Christian faith. This is a pivotal moment. We either stand together to make a difference, or future generations will reap the bitter harvest of apathy and inaction. The Great Evangelical Recession by John S. Dickerson provides a roadmap to genuine hope if we act concertedly to make a difference in Christ. Receive your copy of The Great Evangelical Recession as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Once again, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And let's go right back to the phone calls. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Today, I'm going to probably stay an extra hour. Well, once we go off the air, continue taking your calls. So if you don't get in the next segment, I'll get you in the next hour. Charlie next. He's listening in Arkansas, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Charlie.
Hello, Dr. Hanegraaff. Thank you for taking my call. I've recently run across a situation in my church that I'm fairly a new member of, and we are studying the treatise.
You're studying what now?
I'm sorry?
You're studying what?
We were studying the treatise.
The treatise?
Treatise.
Oh, the treatise.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And in there, it had a section on the Holy Spirit, and the preacher was saying the Holy Spirit has a soul. And I had never heard that. And I was just curious what you can tell me about that.
Well, I can't tell you much about that because, first, it does not cohere with how the Scripture speaks about the Holy Spirit, nor does it cohere with what the creeds of the Christian Church say about the Holy Spirit. What we know about the Trinity is that there's one God. Christians are fiercely monotheistic, revealed in three persons, the person of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are eternally distinct. Now, as I've said many times in the broadcast, this is a truth, a salient truth, that I can apprehend because that's what the Bible teaches, but I cannot comprehend. So the nature of God, which is ineffable, is something that is forever beyond our ken. Even in eternity, we will continue to learn and grow, albeit without error, more and more about the nature of the very one who saved us by his grace. So we know about God in terms of his self-revelation in Scripture, but I think to go beyond that with permutations or platitudes or phrases that are appended to God, I think is a dangerous thing.
Well, I agree. And like I was saying, he said that that is what gives the Holy Spirit his personage, was a soul. And I thought, no, I have never seen any Scripture to support that myself, so...
Again, and that's the beautiful thing in terms of how you're approaching this. You're testing what is being said in light of Scripture, holding fast to the good. And there's nothing in Scripture that would warrant that designation.
Well, he did quote a verse, and I'm driving right now, and I don't have available that Scripture, but I think it was in Galatians where it was along the line, my soul is grieved. And I think it was pertaining to either Jesus or God or the Holy Spirit, one of the three, saying their soul was grieved.
Yes, and this certainly can pertain to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and it does, but you also have to recognize the metaphor that is being used. Jesus is deeply grieved, and so that metaphor is used to communicate the depth of his grief and anguish. But it is not used to, in any way, try to communicate that the Father has a body, a soul, and a spirit. The Son has a body, soul, and spirit. The Holy Spirit has a body, soul, and spirit, as many aberrant teachers have taught, like Benny Hinn, who went so far as to say, therefore, there are nine in the Godhead, because each has its own personal body, soul, and spirit. This is simply nonsense. And again, it's thinking about God in a way that goes beyond how God has taught us to think about himself.
Exactly. I agree completely. And that's one question I asked him. I said, well, now if the Holy Spirit has a soul, does God have a soul also? And he avoided that question. But, and you know, the context I saw in that Scripture was that Jesus was talking in the human perspective that his soul was grieved.
Sure.
And,
yeah. The depth
again,
of his.
I looked at my, you know, the way it was spelled, and in my Bible, you know, that it when it refers to the Godhead, you know, the Holy Spirit or God or Jesus, referring to he or them, it's capitalized, and that was not capitalized. So. I do appreciate Dr. Handgraf. Thank you.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Tom in Seattle, Washington, KCIS. Hi, Tom.
Hey, Hank. Evening.
Good evening.
Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I've got a head injury, so I apologize
sometimes I'm working with a deficit after a brain aneurysm. Mm. So if I fall off track, you'll know why. I've got a question. I'm trying to repair by study, not only myself, but I'm working with my kids and my grandkids. And we love your Bible Answered book, by the way. That's been Grandpa's gift the last several years, in the new version especially. The question I have is in Isaiah 49:16 specifically, and I don't have my Bible in front of me, so I'm going to paraphrase a little bit. But I believe it says, "Behold, I have carved you in the palm of my hands." Is that essentially talking about the Lamb's Book of Life? I'm trying to tell my grandsons and my sons. I think it's one in the same where if you acknowledge God, he writes your name in the Lamb's Book of Life for eternity.
I think that's a very astute observation on your part. I mean, it is two ways of speaking about the same thing. It means that you are his and he is yours, and that God knows those who are in his hand, and no one will snatch them out of his hand. And so it is a way of communicating that you are a participant in the kingdom of Jesus Christ, and therefore your name is etched in his hand or written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So again, a very astute observation on your part.
I appreciate that. For me, it's thanks to my mom. She brought us up to have a relationship with Jesus, and I have built on that my entire life. Thankfully, I walk and talk with him from the minute thank you again, Lord, for Life Flight and the Harbor View and neurosurgeons that knew how to repair an aneurysm break in my head, so it's like a stroke. And thank God for doctors' hands and his, Dr. Jesus' blessing their hands and skills. I've got one observation I'd like to, I kind of feel like sometimes I wish I could stand on a hilltop and shout on behalf of CRI and I look in hindsight and I realize that Germany and that war and that tyrant, and then if you look at all of our alloys that were involved with that, and then of course the Japanese conflict and lost family members there, and then we take a look at all of the other Korea and Vietnam. I had a brother there, but I just feel like in hindsight we made a mistake when we went into Iraq, and we liberated Afghanistan and Iraq, and I want to say, if America doesn't have the courage to do it, maybe Canada, maybe Australia, maybe England would go and do what needs to be done, and I believe put our flag up, put the three or four flags up, actually. I can't believe we handed that territory back over to the enemy.
Well,
conquering something for God and his blessings on us to be able to do that. I just feel like we made a big mistake by not putting our flag up and putting it under our control. And
Let me pray for you. Father, thank you so much for Tom, for his call. I pray, Lord, that you would continue to bless and use him for your glory and for the extension of your kingdom. Lord, may your hand rest upon him. And Lord, may he have peace in the midst of life's storms. We pray this not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Shelley in Thousand Oaks, California. Hi, Shelley.
Yes, I had a question, and I can't find this number anywhere on the internet. Do you know what percentage of Americans embrace New Age ideology?
Well, I don't think you'll ever find a number. And the reason is that defining the New Age movement is not a simple task. The New Age movement is composed of people coming from a vast array of independent traditions and persuasions. Now, Eastern and occult mysticism do provide the basis for their values, especially the belief that everything is essentially one and that this one is God, a view that is known as pantheistic monism. But New Agers are also committed to the vision of an upcoming period of universal peace and enlightenment. They call it the Age of Aquarius, where the entire population will be composed essentially of New Age believers. And there has been a resurgence of paganism in our time, but again, it is a multifaceted kind of a movement, and therefore it's very, very hard to delineate any kind of a specific number. It's a kaleidoscope of occultic beliefs and practices, including reincarnation and channeling and all kinds of forms of divination. So very, very hard to put a number to.
Yes, I understand completely. I was just trying to get an idea of the scope of it, and I thought, and you're an eloquent speaker. You put that so well. Thank you so much for your input.
Well, you're welcome. And one side note, according to the Pew Research Forum, 1 in 4 Americans believe in reincarnation, which is one of the tenets of the New Age movement. Also, the Pew Research finds large numbers of Americans engaged in syncretistic religious traditions. And this is certainly a syncretistic tradition. We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember, Monday through Friday at this time, your questions answered live when you dial 888-ASK-HANK, as mentioned a little earlier on in the broadcast. Going to be here for an extra hour once we go off the air. Continue taking your calls. So if you're hanging on, please be patient. I'll get to you. For everybody else, start dialing right now. 888-ASK-HANK. Numerically, 888-275-4265. You can start calling right now, 888-ASK-HANK, and I'll be taking your calls for the next hour.
Thank you for joining us today. In the Great Evangelical Recession, the award-winning journalist and pastor John S. Dickerson identifies two factors that are severely eroding the American church and offers biblical solutions to prepare us for spiritual success, even in the face of alarming trends. To receive your copy as our thanks for your gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, simply call 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. Or just visit online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on 2 decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. Being good is commendable, but only when it is combined with doing good is it useful. Either take a stand and make a difference, or future generations reap the bitter harvest of indifference and inaction. To help you do good against the attacks on faith and religious liberty by skeptics, the Christian Research Institute is offering 2 resources to build your apologetics arsenal. John Dickerson's The Great Evangelical Recession, 6 Factors That Will Crash the American Church and How to Prepare, plus
Mitch Stokes, How to Be an Atheist, Why Many Skeptics Aren't Skeptical Enough. Receive your copy of The Great Evangelical Recession or How to Be an Atheist as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Equip.org.